Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Black Call. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Yesu Defeats Rahab, the Chaos Monster Within the Hearts of Believing Ones. Let me say at the top of this show today that Pneumatikos is essentially a radio show about hope. It's vital to the human heart. In the scripture, that is, particularly in the New Testament documents, the word hope means confident expectation toward the future. And I want to emphasize that today, that God gives hope to the human condition through the Jesus. God has provided a way through the Jesus, so that the human condition might be looked at differently. And there are those who have availed themselves of God's wonderful answer to the human condition. In the last few shows, I have spoken about Rahab from Genesis chapter 1. Rahab was a mythical monster in the ancient world that was identified with chaos. And there is, within Genesis 1, particularly in the first verses of Genesis chapter 1, the stunning picture of woeful chaos, of destruction, of darkness, Hoshek, over Tihon, that is the roaring deep. Elohim speaks, and by his word, by his incomparable speech acts that are recorded for us in Genesis 1, brings order, or order emerges from chaos. It is through the word, or through his word, that Elohim defeats chaos, or Rahab. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that the earth was void and without hope. Again, there are those who believe that the earth was encased in ice, and therefore there was no life. There was merely the frigid, roaring deep shrouded in Koshek, that is, an impenetrable darkness, a darkness that could be felt. Now, this is a bleak and intense picture that is designed to communicate to us the awesome power of God. Once again, the author of Genesis does not argue for the existence of divine essence. Divine essence is assumed. Divine essence is prior to a chaos environment. Divine essence is other than the chaos environment. Rahab, or the chaos environment, is not an extension of the deity. God brings order into a very bleak and compelling picture. And I would like for us to see that what we are given in Genesis chapter 1 is indeed cosmic history. It is primeval history. But there is also a motif or a theme that we can derive from God's activity at that time. This picture in Genesis 1 foreshadows for us the coming and the presence of sin in the world. Now, I realize that there are those who may be dismissive of the term sin. However, a dismissive attitude does not negate the presence of sin. I've read certain documents that convince me of the presence of sin in human history. A deep reading of history and the understanding of man's action towards man tells us that something is indeed amiss within the human family. Now, what God wants to communicate to us through Genesis 1 is indeed this wonderful power to change darkness, to change a condition that one might believe was or is unchangeable. Unchangeable. The Apostle Paul, in Genesis, takes what was written for us in Genesis chapter 1. And this is what he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He writes these words. And I'm going to begin at verse 3. But, a quote, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." The word lost in Greek is apaleia, and the word literally means destroyed. Genesis opens with a destroyed, chaotic world. Verse 4, "In whom the God," small G-O-D, "in whom the God of this world, of this age, literally, has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. That in itself is a very powerful statement. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, now we're back in Genesis 1, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Greek text, the word that begins in verse 6 is haughty. H-O-T-I. And it reads that, literally, that be God. The God, or Hotheos, a God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, the Hebrew word for darkness is kosha, and it means the darkness that can itself. Here, the word, the Greek word is skotu. Skotu, from which we get our word skotia, which means the consequences of darkness. The consequences of darkness. In the scripture, darkness is never a benign, passive, impersonal principle. Darkness is never passive. Darkness is an active principle. That is encoded. That is intrinsic to the heart. Or cardia. This darkness, the consequences of darkness, is inextricably woven into the chromatin, into the chromosomes, into the double helix, into the four base pairs of the double helix, into the rungs of the double helix. It is inherent within the human heart. God knows this. Now, we at this point are not talking about the human condition as from the hand of God, but what takes place after Genesis chapter 3. And please note that the primal attack against the Adam and Isha was against them and their home. It was a very strategic attack. It was a tactical opportunistic. And it achieves its purpose. But Paul writes, where sin abounded, grace superabounded, and then some more on top of that. Paul at times strained language in order to communicate the greatness of the gospel. Where sin abounded, harmatia abounded, charis, or grace, superabounded, and then some more on top of that. Grace did not balance scale by sin, the undoing of sin. Grace superabounded. Grace broke the scale. Grace, through Jesus, took away sin. Now, I have used Rahab, the ancient chaos monster motif, to speak about sin within the heart, the chaos within. There are hurts, there are experiences that we go through as beings, as human beings, that can shatter the heart, and that does shatter the heart. And an individual might take to oinos, wine, or messy, alcoholic spirit, in order to assuage or to somehow address the shatteredness within, and chaos or Rahab comes into the heart in that manner. Or when I take to various drugs, in the scripture, the word is pharmakia, from which we get our word pharmacy. And it speaks of those, and it, another word that's associated with pharmakia is sorcerer. And so, chaos, or Rahab, the chaos monster, enters into the heart through pharmakia. Or Rahab, the chaos monster, enters into the heart through porneia, Greek word, which you get our word pornography. The focus of the heart becomes insatiable through epithumia. Epithumia is a Greek word that has to do with insatiable craving. Today we use the term addiction. And I've read different definitions of addiction, but I like the biblical definition of addiction, which means taken captive at the point of a spear. Taken captive at the point of a spear. addiction is that. To be taken captive in war at the point of a spear. And so the chaos monster motif points to a very serious or the very serious conflicts that we face as human beings. In verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, Paul writes, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Remember now, a darkness that was palpable, a darkness that could be felt. This is the same darkness that came over the land of Egypt when God attacked and defeated the gods of Egypt through his judgments. Now, it is very interesting that at the end of that through the Noahic flood, God brought in the creation, or God allowed Rahab, the chaos monster, to come in once again, and the earth was inundated . The tectonic plates were broken up, and we read that the upper primeval ocean poured down upon the landmass. And so we have water coming up or rushing up from under the plates, fracturing and destroying the landmass, and we have the primeval ocean hurling down upon the landmass. And so, once again, that which was differentiated by God has now collapsed, and there is a reintroduction of chaos. And then God begins to be restored after the flood. His creative activity in Genesis 1 comes in once again. Jeremiah witnessed the destruction of his people. He witnessed the destruction, the breakdown of society. This is what Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah chapter 4. I looked, this is Jeremiah 4:23. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty, and at the heavens and their light gone. I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking, all the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert. All its towns lay in ruin before the Lord, before his fierce anger. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. Therefore the earth will mourn, and the heavens above will dark, because I have spoken and will not relent. I have decided and will not turn back. It is interesting that in our time, there are the proponents of global warming, and there is scant evidence for their doctrine. But what would be more compelling would be to have an understanding that the earth is indeed a living organism, and that human actions, human behavior, that is dark as within the heart, darkness, even though it may be secret or secreted from the populace, the earth mourns over hidden treachery. And that the decay that is going on in darkness, the earth is acting out what is happening every day, more and more killing. Every day, secret plans are taking shape in order to do more killing, more so-called cleansing, more pogroms, more attack, to raise the stress level, to keep persons stressed out, to keep people on edge, to create discomfort, to create discontent, to erase hope. God is here to give hope. Rahab is about to devour . No one is ever admitted to a hospital complaining of Rahab pain or chaos pain. We go to the hospital complaining of symptomatic items. God is here as healer to give hope. God is here to defeat those things which stop the heart from worship, pray, adoration, and peace. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our hope. Now this morning, you have a wonderful day. God bless you.